Okay, this is getting serious now. Somebody needs an intervention. Somebody, I don't know him personally, but somebody who lives, oh, say, in like a big white house in Washington, temporarily lives there. I wouldn't unpack the boxes right now and start putting the furniture in the corner. I'd leave it alone because you could be moving out soon, but that's not the point. Somebody needs an intervention. I think someday they should corner the little douchebag and say, excuse me, but you need to sit down. You have some incredible problems. You don't understand anything. You need an intervention. Here's the problem with you, okay? Now sit down and shut up for once and let me talk. You make things up. You think that people weren't born in this country, especially the last one that happened to be president. You think that there were like twice as many people at your inauguration than there actually were, and we have pictures of that. You claim that there were over 3 million illegal votes in the last election, and that's why you lost the popular vote. You think that there are people celebrating in New Jersey when the Twin Towers came down? You watch TV and you think it's real. You watch cartoons and you think that that's really happening. There's something wrong with you. You think that everything you do is golden and that you never, ever make a mistake. You never regret anything you've ever done. You've always said that because regretting something is admitting that you were wrong, and that shows a personality flaw of weakness. That is so sick. That is so sick. You need an intervention. What you need is to have an entire week of programs on Dr. Phil. Have him analyze you, put you away in some place for like 2 years of treatment. Send you away to a facility. Start drinking, my God. You don't drink enough, apparently, because you don't drink alcohol. This is usually what happens when people drink alcohol, but you don't drink alcohol. That means this is a personality disorder. There's something legitimately wrong with you. You push for things, and then when you find out they didn't work, you say, well, I didn't really like it anyway. That is so sick. That's a sign of strength. That's a sign of weakness, and you know it. You hate to lose. You say that all the time. I hate to lose. I hate to lose. I hate to lose. Therefore, whenever I do lose, I will make things up to make it look like I didn't lose, and you won't think that I lost. Oh, you think you're putting it over on us. Oh, my God, you can't stop tweeting. You can't stop making these moronic, little comments. He says, well, that's the way that I connect to the American people. That's what won me the election, says this strange man. Yes, it won you the election because you confused the hell out of people. But now you're president, and you're still acting like a little child, a little pouty child. Oh, my God. And then you say, I don't need China to solve the problem with North Korea. I can handle this alone. You can handle this alone? Why? Just because your ties are made there? Oh, my God. You're scaring the living hell out of me. So it's time for an intervention. You have to stop making stuff up. You don't think Russia had anything to do with our election, when indeed Russia is interfering with everybody's election, trying to sway the outcome of every country so that it can have some influence or economic one-upmanship. I mean, that's all made up. Here's the real story. Barack Obama actually had surveillance done on Trump Tower during the nomination process. That's the real story. Oh, my God. You're trying to throw smoke bombs up in the air and making us all confused. You need an intervention. There's something wrong with you. Medication. I don't even think medication will help you. I don't think anything will. You need to be sent to a facility where you can undergo psychological treatment and psychological testing. Please check into a hospital because you're crazy.
crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. I'm crazy, crazy for feeling so blue.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I don't know what I like anymore. I don't know what I like.
Whatever.
Okay. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show, and I'm in color. Yeah. Everybody sing along. Come on, sing along.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you so much. Welcome to the program. How are you today? Everything good with you? Are you feeling okay? All right. Well, all right. Oh, man. It just gets weirder every single day. Everything gets weirder. Have you noticed the progression of things getting weirder and weirder? Not better, not more comfortable, not more stable, but weirder and worse. It's weird. I think we need to remove this President Trump guy in order to make America great again, because it's kind of getting worse now. I don't know. Give it some time, Ron. Give it some time. He's only been president for what seems like to be 62 years, when indeed it's less than 100 days. Is it really? This is something that I don't keep track of. It's not like I'm in prison and I'm marking off all the days on my prison wall. No, I'm not doing that. I have better things to do. I don't know what those better things are, but I'm sure I have better things to do. Yeah, man, this tweet stuff is like, I think he's going to end up ruining the entire tweet thing. I think there'll come a time pretty soon when people will say, I'm not using that thing. I'm not using that thing that has turned out to be stupid. I'm not using that tweet twat thing like he does. That's apparently it gets people in trouble. he's you know, here's a president who says things on camera. You know, we have things now called cameras and videotape, and now you didn't have to tape it. It's just like right there on a disc. We have you saying this stuff verbally with your mouth. It's not edited. It's really you saying it. And then this president guy, like, like 6 months later, is saying, I never said that. how can you just lie like that? How can you lie? That was taken wrong. That was taken wrong. I may have said it, but I meant it sarcastically. I meant it as a joke. Don't you have a sense of humor? Oh, it's my problem. I'm sorry. That's right. You do nothing wrong. This is all my problem. It's my interpretation of what you said word for word. I understand now. I get it. And he actually convinces people that he's being accurate. It's like, wow, this is some kind of hypnotist. He's got us all under his spell or something, man. He's altering reality. Wow. He made a comment in a Saturday morning tweet at 8:30. Sounds like Saturday morning cartoons. Donald Trump's Saturday morning tweets. Sponsored by General Mills, the breakfast cereal for people that can't seem to sleep all night and have to tweet by mistake. And even when you're present, get some sleep, man. Get some sleep. Do what Michael Jackson did. Take that propofol stuff. Oh, that's right. You don't take stuff. You don't drink. You don't take pills. If there's one candidate for alcohol, it's you. Anyway, he tweets about Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd is with NBC News. He hosts Meet the Press, a very prestigious news analytical show. But of course, it's opinion mixed with news. Donald said something about Chuck Todd, NBC News, and instead of just as dumb and childish and immature as that tweet is, he mentions Chuck Todd's name, and then after Chuck Todd, he says sleepy eyes. The President of the United States is mentioning people and then giving characteristics to them like a 10-year-old child. A 10-year-old child would even be more sophisticated. A 5-year-old. He's calling people poopy pants and sleepy eyes. He can't refer to somebody without putting a tag on him. Rosie O'Donnell is fat. Bush was low energy. Shut up. Let me tell you something. If a grown man acted like this on their job, that man would be fired. And I use the term man because apparently genetically that's what he is. Same goes for a woman. If you have this kind of personality childishness where you're calling people names, saying things and that are lies and fake and proven to be that, you get fired from your job. So we hired this guy knowing that he does this, and now we should have the ability, once we really know that he said he was, when I become president, I'm going to be very presidential, no more tweeting. You heard him say that, didn't you? He said he started it. He said that when he became president, he would no longer tweet because that's not presidential. Oh, Ron, he didn't say that. That's ridiculous. Why would he say something like that? Oh, you're right. He never said that.
You know, I tweeted today, at real Donald Trump, I tweet. And that's, you know, it solves them. Don't worry, I'll give it up after I'm president. We won't tweet anymore, I don't think. Not presidential.
I guess that wasn't him saying it. I guess that's why he doesn't tweet anymore, because it's not presidential, so he doesn't do it. You freaking liar. This president lies. He's the opposite of George Washington with the cherry tree thing. And Lincoln apparently didn't lie a lot. This guy's the poster child for lying. You would be fired from your job. Do you know what's wrong with this country? I mean, there's a lot of things now that are really, really wrong. But you know what's really wrong is that we don't have the ability to fire somebody. We can hire them into the White House, but we can't fire them once they're in. We can review their job performance after 4 years. We do a 4-year job performance review. I got to tell you something, in regular business, they review your performance at least annually, if not twice a year. And they let you know what you're doing wrong, and or they could fire you right on the spot. You know, last one hired, first one fired. And who is it who coined that phrase, you're fired, on a television show? Let's see. Who was that? Was it Jerry Mathers as the Beaver? No, it wasn't that. Was it Huckleberry Hound in a cartoon? No, it wasn't that. Who did? Was it Kevin James on King of Queens? No, he didn't say you're fired. He didn't coin that phrase. Who did? Could it be on The Apprentice, Donald Trump? Wouldn't it be ironic if we turned around and we fired him? Yeah, you can after 4 years. I can't wait 4 years. I can't wait 4 years. Stuff is happening right now. There's North Korea stuff going on. There's Russia that's trying to infiltrate every election on the planet. There's a lot of stuff going on. Can't wait 4 years. I say get a panel of people together now from the employment agency and let's just fire the guy's ass right now. I mean, I'm not too keen on that Vice President Pence guy, but at least he's human. I think he'd pass I don't agree with most of his stuff, and I hope he doesn't do most of the stuff he wants to do, but my God, put somebody in a driver's seat who knows how to drive at least. I'm in a driverless car without the technology. It's scary, man. I don't understand why he's not under psychological review. And the man still hasn't released any of his tax forms. He did 1 year, just the first page, where it doesn't show any details. It doesn't show how he made his money or where he got his money from or what deals he made or with whom. There's nothing like that. I think as he sits in the head office of the company, I think I should at least know what his tax returns are now. How is that personal? Now you're in public office. I want to see all your tax returns, man. And if you don't, then get the hell out of the White House. I think I can do that. I think I can demand his tax returns. People don't cover stuff up unless there's something to hide. Let me repeat that for the hard of hearing. People don't cover stuff up unless there's something to hide. All right, enough about him. Let's move on. I guess there are other things going on, but probably not as significant as that, but whatever.
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Things are getting weird again. As you may have read over the weekend, that Al-Qaeda, those people, thought they were kind of like being quiet. I guess they're being quiet and getting into some technology. Apparently, they stole up to $150 or $300 million from a Yemen bank, and they used the money to try to figure out how to blow up our planes. I would have just bought some real estate somewhere, but apparently they decided this was more important to them. And they've apparently come up with a situation where laptops would be brought onto planes. And from there, you can cause all kinds of havoc with these bombs and laptops. Let me tell you something. This actually is a problem. And I'll tell you why. And I laugh a little bit, but only from a sarcastic point of view, because things are going to change soon again when you fly. There was the underwear bomber where people had to have their underwear checked. There was a shoe bomber, so you know you had to take your shoes off. There were bombs being held hidden. In belts that you wear around your waist. Toothpaste tubes. You couldn't bring toothpaste tubes or liquids onto a plane because there could be the makings of a bomb or a chemical or something. So for a long time, we weren't allowed to bring toothpaste tubes. Now, Now it's laptops. You know, all the other stuff I think we could have lived without. But my God, if you start banning laptops from being brought onto planes, you might as well just open up the cemeteries and let the people jump into the plots, because that's one thing they will not stand for. You can take away my freedom, but not my laptop. Worse than that would be the smartphone. We have to take away your smartphone.
Oh no. You can't. I'm sweating. You can't take my smartphone. Oh no. I can't live.
So now technology is the scanners and the technology here is trying to overcome that. We do have the technology to look into laptops before you get on the plane. The problem is that we're throwing our entire lives and safety into the hands of these airport security people. And I'm not degrading them whatsoever, but it doesn't look like most of them have even been to high school. Not that high school is necessary to see if there's some type of residue on the laptop cover that would mean that you may have gunpowder in it or a bomb or something. I guess they can be specially trained, but it doesn't look like they are. Maybe that's the genius of it. But I feel a little nervous putting the safety of myself and my family and my fellow human beings in the hands of people that look like they kind of just wandered into the job by mistake and put a uniform on in the back. Some of them kind of look like they should be, that the only prior job requirement for being an airport security scanner would be that one time or another you ordered chicken from Popeyes. It's just a little scary for me. Anyway, there you have it. Oh, here's another thing. Donald Trump, you know him. The president of the United States is so rich that there were many people who were suing him for Trump University. You understand this. These people went to a quote-unquote Trump University, and they were taught nothing whatsoever, basically. And they sued Donald Trump as the owner of Trump University, although Donald Trump claims he never taught any classes. He just had other people do it. So, of course, he's not responsible. But a lot of lawsuits against him, a lot of money. He's being sued for a lot of money. Donald Trump, rather than go through that or at least admit that his school was a scam, he settled out of court. He paid them hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to settle the case. Those of you that voted for Donald Trump because he represented the American people, take a look at this example. You voted for a man who gets rid of his problems, especially his judicial problems, by paying people off. That's what a settlement is. You're paying people off. Legally, you're admitting guilt. But apparently, he didn't have the balls nor the confidence that he would even win a case like that. So he settled out of court. Let me explain something to you. It's called entitlement. You, if you were being sued for something, would you have the money to settle out of court? No, you wouldn't. Would you have the money to hire the best lawyers in the world to figure this out for you? No, you wouldn't. Yet you voted for somebody who not only has the ability to pay things off judicially, but also does it. Just because you have the ability to do it, because you have a lot of money, doesn't mean that you necessarily do. Sometimes it means that you go to court and you face the music and you let the judge decide what really happened here and you pay accordingly. That would have been the honorable thing to do. Maybe not great politically for him, but he's done this all his life. He pays people off. He pays to get out of situations. Do you have the luxury to do that? No, you don't. Do you get mad at people that win in court because they have the best lawyers and you lose in court because you can't afford that? Do you understand how wrong that is? Do you understand that your president exercises that? Good choice. Nice choice on your part. Some of you are going to have to live with this, unfortunately, at my expense. Okay, let's move the situation, the discussion, not that we're discussing anything. You haven't said a word so far. Believe me, it's a lot safer when you don't. It's allergy season. I have allergies all year long. Not severe, you know, just a little nose fun thing going on usually, you know. It's like little things are taking residence inside my nostril. It happens year-round, but I keep up. I have a cleaning crew that comes in and takes that shit out. But I think a lot of us have allergies. If I speak to 10 people, and believe me, I don't, but if I spoke to 10 people, I believe that 7 out of 10, maybe even 8 out of 10 will say that, yeah, I'm affected by allergies, and this is allergy season. I think allergy season is all year-round. But I thought it would be kind of interesting because it's time for people to start sneezing and being miserable and have their eyes turn red and their eyes tearing and their noses running and all that kind of fun stuff to enjoy the great outdoors and total discomfort. Yeah, I love the spring. I love the outdoors. I just love sitting among the outdoors. Of course, I have to take my 24-hour allergy medication in order to live through it. But otherwise, I love it. That's like, go out and enjoy the sun. Oh, it's springtime, and it's rained for so long. It's time to enjoy the sun. I'm just going to stand out there and bathe in the sun. But not without my 24-hour sunblock, the SPF 152. Otherwise, my skin's going to burn, and they're going to scrape skin cancer off my face otherwise. But I'm just saying, I love the sun.
Hi.
Hi, how are you today?
Good.
This is Dr. Nita Ogden. She's an adult and pediatric allergist, asthma specialist, and immunologist. I hope I said that right. Featured on the Today Show, CBS This Morning, CNN, NPR, and now the pinnacle of her career on this program. Congratulations. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. We're talking about allergy symptoms, and I'm just guessing everybody who's listening is going to understand what we're talking about. You know, everybody I speak to has some form of allergies, it seems like.
For sure. Now more than ever, allergies are a huge problem. We find that they're more prevalent. And one of the big things that I wanted to bring up today is how much allergies are not affecting just people during the day, but at night, impacting sleep, and therefore making people have, you know, a really difficult time functioning during the day because they're so fatigued.
Yeah, I get that, and there's quite a bit of them. Now, was a survey taken recently, I understand?
Yeah, so this is very interesting. It was a social experiment that was conducted using wearable devices, and they tracked the sleep and activities of allergy sufferers and non-allergy sufferers. And what they found is that in allergy sufferers, sleep was disrupted 4 times as much as people without allergies. They had a harder time falling asleep.
Really?
They had a harder time staying asleep. And then you can imagine that during the day, they're just exhausted. So it really affects you not only at night, but then during the day, during, you know, trying to carry out your regular activities.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So, but what do we do about this? I guess there's all different, I mean, there are all different reasons for this.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's so many, I mean, spring allergy season is right around the corner. So there's that. And it's really about people taking it into their own hands. Number one, they can be proactive and get ahead of the day, look up pollen counts. On those days when it's super high, they should stay indoors and avoid that, you know, morning or afternoon jog or the golf game. When you come home, take off your clothes and throw them in the laundry right at the doorstep if you can. Take a shower at night so that you're rinsing away that the microscopic pollen that sort of landed all over your body and wiped down your eyelids. And then people should really be on top of their medications as well. It's important to you know, have everything ready before the allergy season starts. And I recommend that to all my patients that they should be on what we call a antihistamine with 24-hour relief, such as Dizol 24-hour, which is now over-the-counter.
Mm-hmm.
That's really one of the cornerstones. And then in addition to that, I tell people to use saline, especially like a saline mist or a neti pot people love, so that they're, again, rinsing out their nasal passages and not going to bed with microscopic pollen in their airway, using eye drops that can also rinse out pollen that's, you know, accumulated over the course of the day. So it's about just being proactive and being really smart about what steps you take during allergy season.
Yeah, I mean, people really suffer, and it does change your outlook and your snappy feeling on life when you're kind of dragging, not only because you're tired, but because you're just uncomfortable. What about, I don't think I've ever asked anybody this before, but or an allergist. What about inside your home? Are there things inside the home that can cause allergies that we may not even understand or be aware of?
Yeah, absolutely. There are many things. And, you know, what's interesting is in the spring allergy season, our pets can be a source of indoor allergies, especially if we have long-haired dogs in particular, because they go outside and they run around in, you know, the grass, and then they're tracking pollen throughout your home. So you have to be careful about that as a source. There can be a lot of, even if you're keeping your windows closed and you're running your AC, you can still get exposed to the outdoor pollen coming in. So remember to keep your pets out of the bedroom, for example, during the high spring pollen season. And pet dander itself, you know, a lot of people are allergic to that, unfortunately. So there, you know, what I recommend to allergy sufferers in that situation is that they be careful about exposure. Just like I said with the spring season, you know, you don't want to, if you are allergic to something like a dog or a cat and you have one in the home, you know, don't sleep with them in your bed, for example. Other indoor allergens might be mold or dust mite, and that's really about being careful about cleaning around the house and keeping your house as sort of dust-free as possible.
Okay. Now, tell me about over-the-counter medications. Most of us are on something, and I'm assuming for a lot of people, what they're on may not really even be working.
Right, and so that can be true. There are many options right now, but again, I really think it's important that people start and take a 24-hour antihistamine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, like I said, the cornerstone. These new medication like Dizol that is over-the-counter. And then there are other things, you know, nasal sprays and eye drops.
Right.
I really like allergy patients, even though all this stuff's over-the-counter, they should check in with a doctor for questions about what they can be allergic to so they can better control it and they can effectively use all these options out there.
Right. Now, we're talking about the runny nose, itchy eye stuff. I guess some allergies can actually cause skin irritation. That gets a little more serious, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure. I see, you know, people after spending a long day outside coming home and they're itchy all over. Or they may get, you know, they may have allergic skin, things like eczema or hives, and they get stirred up. So that's what I mean about being smart about your allergy exposure. It's so hard when spring is around the corner and it's so beautiful out. You just want to spend your weekend outside, but for allergy sufferers, that can have real consequences.
Yeah, I never know if I have a cold or allergies. It's always the battle.
I know. Well, I love that you bring that up because that's such an important point. So many people, you know, miss that they have allergies because they think that they have a cold that they can't shake. But if you have that cold-like symptom, like a cough and the congestion that keeps coming back over 4 to 6 weeks, one should really think about whether or not they have allergies, especially if it's in that high spring season.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Where do I get more information about all of this?
If you'd like more information, go to Xyzal.com. That's XYZAL.com, and that'll be a great source.
Very cool. Dr. Ogden, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Thank you, Ron.
You're welcome. You take care.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We'll be back right after these words.
Wildlife poaching doesn't just happen in faraway places. It's a crime committed against countless wild animals all around you. Poachers don't care about hunting seasons, endangered species, or even the safety of other humans. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, which protects wild animals through habitat preservation and by confronting cruelty, needs your help. Learn your state's wildlife laws, so when you witness a crime against a wild animal, you can report it immediately. Help protect wildlife at wildlifelandtrust.org.
Smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats. You love your new connected technology. And the Consumer Technology Association wants to help you protect the security of your devices. First, don't use default or easy-to-guess passwords. Create unique ones and keep them safe. Next, look for and install security updates from device manufacturers. Also, have an active firewall for your home router. And consider using a professional installer to set up your new devices. Easy tips from the Consumer Technology Association to help keep your devices secure.
Well, you're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. We do a new show every single weekday. That's a lot of them. Mm-hmm. There's over 500, 600 shows to listen to. If you wanted to binge listen until you died, I could fill up your time. I could. Tell your friends about it, if you have any. And, you can find us on the Podbean Network. You can find us right here on NewEnglandBroadcasting.com. You can find us on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and various podcast networks, and some syndicated radio stations. Oh, really? That's cool. Glad you're happy. I hate Facebook. I hate it. I did an interview last week. I never aired it. I'm going to play it now for you. It annoyed me. I've got to be honest with you. And I don't think I'm supposed to say this, but it did annoy me. I'm not of the Facebook generation, quite obviously. I've done many interviews with people that work for Facebook, and they all seem to be in their early 20s, because I think that's, I guess, the way it should be. I don't understand every facet of Facebook. There are so many. And every time I said to this guest who is with Facebook, announcing a Facebook shopping kind of thing, which is fine. I have no problem with that at all. I kept saying to her, and you'll hear it in this interview, I kept saying, like, okay, like, where did someone go who doesn't understand Facebook, who wants to get the full benefits of all the billions of things Facebook does? It seems every time I sneeze or something with an allergy, it comes up on my Facebook page, Ron did a new sneeze today. I said, why, how did you know that? And why are you posting that to people that you call my friends who I don't even know? You're just turning my whole world into a pool of unfamiliar. I need to know what you're about. And her response to me was always, well, like, Facebook explains itself. There's really no need to have anybody explain it to you. Yeah, there is. You see, I'm expressing to you that I don't know. Well, I don't know why you don't know. I mean, everything's self-explanatory. No, it's not self-explanatory. I don't care for that. And I just don't, I don't care for people that say, well, as I said before, that's an insult. Whenever someone says to you, when you're having a conversation and you ask a question that was perhaps similar to something else, and the person you're talking to says, well, as I said before, oh, you just insulted me. You just downed me. As I said before, what you're basically saying is, if you were listening to me, you schmuck pants, because I already answered your question, you low-life little dweeb, that's what they're really saying to me, and I don't take kindly to that. Anyway, let's speak to, there's here, this is Facebook. Okay, now that I thoroughly pissed off everybody, it's time for me to say goodbye, as I'm going to run in the opposite direction. But I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Hope you join me then. Until then, I wish you peace.